Galatians 4, verse 13. Galatians 4, verse 13 says, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the churches of Galatia in the Galatia region. He says, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." I want to preach on the topic of through infirmity this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time once again as we gather together, Lord, to hear your word. And God, I just pray that you would empty me of myself. Lord, let not my flesh to get in the way or anything that would hinder this message, Lord, to obstruct the clarity of the message to your people today. I pray, God, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, with your power. Lord, I pray that you would bring to remembrance the scriptures you want brought out this morning. Lord, help me to emphasize the things you want emphasized today. Lord, I pray that I'd be under your control. Lord, I pray that you would take control. Lord, I yield myself to you as your messenger today. I pray that you would touch each heart and prepare each heart this morning, that each one would be ready to hear from you that which you want to give to them. And Lord, you know what each person is dealing with this morning. You know their situation, their background, their heart as they've walked in today. And God, I just pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would take your word and speak to each heart and direct each person exactly as needed. And God, just help me not to get in the way. I pray that you would preach through me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The word through, and feel free to mark that in your Bibles if you want to mark your Bibles, that caught my attention recently as I was reading this passage. It's a simple word, and we use it in conversation, no doubt, often. Probably don't even think about the fact that we use the word through, but we do. You say, what does through mean? Well, according to the dictionary, it means moving in one side and out the other side of something. Or we could say, continuing in time toward completion of a process or a period. Paul reminds believers in the region of Galatia that he ministered to them through infirmity of the flesh. In context, he was helping them to see that his infirmity didn't slow him down, nor did it affect the way they felt about him at the time. But unfortunately, some things changed in the heart of some of these believers. As if you continue to read the chapter, you'd see they didn't have the same affection toward Paul as they once had at the first. We're not going to go in that direction this morning because I really believe we need to focus on verse 13. And that's where my mind and heart was drawn to as I was reading this recently. We want to consider the word through, and specifically through infirmity. That's the title of the message this morning, through infirmity. And so let's consider for a moment from this verse, the first thing, the task. And I want to kind of lead up to the through infirmity part. And so let's look at the task that the Apostle Paul had. You notice he says in verse 13 that he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel unto them. The Apostle Paul, the human writer of this book to the churches of Galatia, had a task. What was his task? Very simply, he was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus called him, and he was to complete this task till he went home to meet his Savior. Let me give you some verses where Paul explains this. In Galatians 1, 11 through 12, he says, "But I certify you, brethren." In other words, this is the truth. "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." What he's saying is this gospel that was given to me was from Christ. This task that I had to preach the gospel was from Jesus. It wasn't given by man. I wasn't man called. I wasn't man directed. It's not a gospel of man. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was given by Jesus Christ, and I'm to preach it till I meet Christ. And he had a task. This was his task. In 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." What was that ministry? It was Christ's ministry. It was the gospel ministry. He said, "I was put in this ministry by the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only put in the ministry for this task, but he enabled me and he equipped me, which is what he does. He calls you and then he enables you and then he equips you to do the work that he's called you to do. And so this was his task. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, he says to the church there, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." He said, "Hey, I'm not going to preach the gospel to you. I'm called to do it. This is my task, but I'm not going to preach it to you with wisdom of words. I'm not going to try to speak it intellectually. I'm not going to try to impress you with the words I use. I'm not going to try to overcomplicate it, because it's simple. It's the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation to all who will repent and believe on Jesus Christ." And so he said, "This is my calling. I don't want the cross of Christ to be made of none effect." So this is his task. We're talking about the task. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, the Apostle Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." He's not doing it for his own glory. He's not doing it so he can boast of anything. "For he has nothing to boast of in preaching the gospel." He said, "For necessity is laid upon me." I have to preach the gospel. It's necessary that I preach the gospel. And he says this, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He knows that a calling gone unheeded and undone, he's going to answer for that to God one day. And not only he'll answer to God for that one day, but there'll be many who will not be impacted with the gospel because he ignored the call. And so he said, "Woe is me if I preach the gospel." And every called preacher of God would say, "I have nothing to glory of when I preach the gospel. I have to preach the gospel." Like Jeremiah, "There was a fire shut up in my bones. I said I would stop preaching, but I can't stop preaching. I have to let it out." And any preacher would understand that, or any call God's given you, or any task he's placed before your feet, you understand that you have to do it. Necessity is laid upon you. And by the way, woe is unto you if you don't do it. If you disobey God in that, there's not only answering to God for it, but there's many people who will be impacted because you chose not to. So Paul completed the task he was given regardless of the circumstances. I like that about Paul. We'll talk more about that. But he knew what his calling was. He knew what God directed him to do. He knew what the task was that he had. And with laser focus, he stayed on it. Can I say this morning, every person that was ever born has something they can do for God. Every person ever born has something they can do for God. God has given each one specific responsibilities, gifts, and purpose for his glory that we must seek and embrace. And God will bring that right to you sometimes. "This is what I want you to do. This is a task I want you to do. These are some things I want you to accomplish. These are the gifts and opportunities and resources I've given you. And so as a good steward, I want you to do this." And we can choose to either reject it or embrace it. To say, "God, I can't," which God already knows that. That's why he gives you strength to do it. Or, "God, I don't want to." And then you better bend your will to his soon, or he'll chastise you. Chasten you as his child. Correct you. But he's given you responsibilities. He's given you opportunities. He's given you gifts and purpose. He's given you tasks in his word and by his spirit with what he's given to you to accomplish for him. Every person ever born has something they can do for God. And can I say this morning, in case there's anyone here without the gospel, it starts with believing that gospel that Paul was called to preach. It starts with listening to the words under God's inspiration that Paul spoke concerning the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." By what? By the gospel, by believing the gospel. "If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." And here's the gospel that Christ, that he got from Christ, that he was commissioned to preach from Christ. Here's the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And when you turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone, Not in addition to baptism, not in addition to church attendance, not in addition to being a good person, but Christ alone you receive and believe Him personally as your Savior for your sin. You become a new person in Christ. And God has a purpose for you in tasks to be completed in accordance with His Word. We see the task. Do you know the task? We know every believer, we are to glorify God. We are to proclaim Jesus Christ and His gospel. That's a general purpose for us in this life. To glorify God, to do all things to His glory, to live, to work, to breathe, to parent, whatever, for God's glory. And we're supposed to proclaim Jesus Christ and let others know Him and know His gospel. And then based on the gifts, spiritual gifts He's given you and the opportunities He's given you and the resources He allowed you to have, we're supposed to use those things specifically for what He wants us to do and how He wants us to serve Him and to serve others. The task. We see with Paul, the task. I preach the gospel. But then we also see the trouble. The trouble. Galatians 4, verse 13. You know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Infirmity of the flesh. An infirmity is an affliction, some kind of trial, some kind of, could be an illness, some kind of affliction that you face. And Paul said, the infirmity of the flesh. He's talking about his infirmities, his trouble that he faced. This great Christian, and we would consider him one of the greatest Christians there ever was, like any other person, had trouble in his life and with his flesh. He struggled with afflictions, trials, burdens, and health difficulties. He had infirmities. Consider what Paul said in other verses about this trouble he faced. In 2 Corinthians 10:10, he says, "For his letters, say they," talking about himself, "are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible." They said, hey, he writes good. When he stands up in front of you, not much there. Doesn't talk very well. He was well-educated and religious, but straight to the point, bold, preaching Christ. His speech contemptible, and his bodily presence, some aspect of his bodily presence, weak and maybe not so good to look at, I don't know, but he said, hey, the letters were good, but he was dealing with some things in his flesh. In 2 Corinthians 11:30, Paul recounts some of the trouble he faced. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I had been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. He had a lot of perils, by the way. In perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, besides those, just some of those things that I deal with on the outside, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The churches he started, the ones he's trying to help, the ones he's trying to encourage. He had the weight of those churches and those believers upon his back and weighing on his heart and mind. Who is weak? Am I not? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. So if I'm going to glory in anything, it's going to be, I guess, the trouble that I'm facing for Christ's sake. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." Something that pricked him constantly. Something that he may have thought was a hindrance to what he was doing. Something that he'd rather just not have in his life. A thorn in his flesh. Satan wanted to use it to destroy him, but God was using Satan to build him up and to keep him humble and to keep him dependent upon Christ. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. And so we see Paul, if anybody had infirmity of the flesh, I know all of us have some kind of infirmity of the flesh. The Apostle Paul obviously had many cares and troubles he dealt with on a regular basis. And I would say, overall, probably more so than most of us here this morning. Infirmities and troubles are a regular part of life that everybody deals with. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, whether you're here presently or anyone that would listen to the recording later, I could confidently say could stand up and declare their struggles. We all have them, right? Sometimes we kind of go through life thinking we're the only one that deals with infirmities or struggles or afflictions. But every single person in this life has those. The Apostle Paul had more than most people. What did it do? It kept him humble, kept him looking to God. But for us, we need to understand this morning, troubles are part of life, for they're the result of sin in the world. Infirmities, sickness, all these things are a result of sin in this world. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all sinners. But because of sin, we have the result of the infirmities and troubles we face in life. Jesus himself said that, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We cannot deny the infirmities or trouble. We cannot ignore the infirmities and troubles, but we can handle them with God's help. Let me say it again. I mean, it'd be easy to ignore them. It'd be easy to avoid them. It'd be easy to deny them. But really, we have to handle them in God's strength and with God's help. And I believe that's what we see what Paul did. As we read what he wrote all through the New Testament, we read that kind of spirit and understanding that he had what he had. He dealt with what he dealt with, but he did it in God's help, with God's help and in God's strength and grace. So we see the task. We all have tasks. We have general tasks the Bible gives us as followers of Jesus Christ. We have specific tasks God has given us based on our gifts and abilities and opportunities and so forth. We have that task, and every person ever born has something they can do for God. But we need to understand we also have the trouble, but God knew we were going to have the trouble before he gave us the task. So we have the trouble, the infirmity of the flesh, but they're a regular part of life everybody has to deal with. And then thirdly, an important part that I want to emphasize, and the title emphasized it, we have the tenacity. The tenacity. Just one word, through. That's what struck me as I read it. This is what's really touched me about the verse. He says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. We know he preached the gospel unto them at the first, but for whatever reason, God allowed that to be in the pages of Scripture, that it was through infirmity of the flesh he was able to preach the gospel unto them. The tenacity. This man had a task, a great task from the Lord. And any task God gives you is a great task. God gave him a tremendous privilege and purpose to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that need to hear about Christ. But he also had trouble in the form of infirmities of the flesh. But let me tell you, even though he had trouble, he doesn't reject the task because of the trouble. He doesn't avoid the task because of the trouble. He doesn't change the task because of the trouble. Notice that through the infirmity of the flesh, he carried out the task. What tenacity, what faithfulness, what strength. And the question is this, where did he get that tenacity from? Did he pull it up from within himself, which the world will tell you, hey, if you just pull it up from within what you have, you can do it. No, we can't do it. We need to recognize that in this life. It's not focused and centered on ourselves. That's what the world is, self-centered. We put too much stock in what we can do. But when it's God-centered, we realize how much he can do if we're yielded to him and dependent on him. So that wasn't it. How could Paul preach the gospel through the infirmity? In Philippians 4:13, he wrote to the Philippian church, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In 1 John 4:9, the Bible tells us this: in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. How did he, through the infirmity of the flesh, preach the gospel and complete the task God had given him? It was through Christ. Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. God gives us the strength. God gives us the grace. God gives us the ability. God gives us the opportunity. God gives us the privilege. God gives us the openings. God gives us all the resources and supplies we need to carry out his task, if we will depend upon him. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, after Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh and the infirmity he has, he says, "And he said unto me," that's Jesus, "said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, our strength isn't made perfect when we're strong. And it seems odd in the way it's put, I guess, in our minds, but our strength isn't made perfect and complete in Christ when we're strong and we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Our strength is made perfect when we're weak and on our knees we cry out to God and he reaches down and helps us. Now, he'll give us the strength to stand up and to press forward and by faith to go forward. He'll give us that, but it relies and it depends upon us yielding to him and trusting him and getting to the place where we understand we're not strong, we're weak. And it's not something where we have to wear a sign, "I'm weak." So everybody knows, "Man, I'm so weak today. Can't do anything." But it's a, "I understand in my heart I'm weak without God. I understand that I need all the grace through Jesus Christ for every day and for everything in my life. And I recognize that so I can walk with my back straight and my head up, not in pride, but in dependence upon an almighty God that I know is helping me." The tenacity of Paul. You see, the Lord gave the task, but the Lord also knew the trouble Paul would face with his infirmities. God doesn't make mistakes when he calls someone to do something. God doesn't make mistakes when he leads you in a task that he's prepared for you. God doesn't make mistakes when he puts something in his word and expects each Christian to follow and obey that. He doesn't make mistakes. He gives the task, but he also gives the strength for the task. You see, the Lord gave the strength and help to get through. Infirmities in your life should not stop you, but strengthen you. Should not stop you, but strengthen you. They may cause us to consider, but it shouldn't stop us from fulfilling what God's already told us to do or what his word says. Because God knew the trouble, as I said, the trouble we would face before he gave the task. It shouldn't stop us, but rather it should strengthen us to understand that in our weakness, the power of Christ is made evident through us as we yield to him. The Lord doesn't remove infirmities from your life as much as he helps you realize you can go through them in dependence upon him. The Lord doesn't remove infirmities from your life. Sometimes he does. And sometimes God certainly will do amazing things and will heal, or you're only under that infirmity for a time, or you're only afflicted for a season for God to work something in your life or whatever. Sometimes it does happen, but I don't believe he removes infirmities as much as he helps you realize you can go through them in dependence upon him. How else would you understand how much you can trust God unless during a storm, as we sang about this morning, he's with you through it and you understand what he can do? God's word reveals God's will, and God's spirit will lead according to it. And he will give the accompanying strength and help you need to complete the tasks he's led you to, even when it's through infirmities. Even when it's through infirmities. Listen, I understand. We all have our own infirmities. We all have our own struggles. We could all give it. I could give my own today. But I understood this. At the first, you question and you wonder, can I do this task if God's allowed this infirmity in my life? And you begin to doubt whether or not he made the right mistake or you understood him the right way. But then once you finally get to your lowest and you cry out to him and you seek his help and you depend upon him and you say, God, you know what you're doing. I just have to trust you, and so I'm just going to trust you and press forward. God can take that and through your weakness make you strong to complete all that he wants you to do. He gives you the task. Yeah, he also allows the trouble. But he also gives you the tenacity and courage and faith to continue on knowing it's his will. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even when obstacles come in the way, yes. Even when infirmities plague you, yes. Even when you are just lacking the understanding, yes. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God puts that desire to will, in other words, to want to, and to do, to complete the task and work it for his glory. So let's get to the heart of it this morning. Are you trying to go around infirmities today? Perhaps the Lord is speaking to you to go through them instead with his help. And secondly, are you on your own without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Then as the Spirit of God is convicting and drawing, you believe on Christ today. His sacrifice on the cross, his death, his burial, and resurrection, you can call upon him to save you today, and he can give you that same strength, that same courage, that same tenacity, even through trouble, as you trust in him. Stand with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. If